afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this special episode of the ID Element Show, all about the release of a brand new access control service 2.0. And I'm here with Justin Joseph Smith, Principal Program Manager Lead on the Access Control Service. Hey, Justin, how's it going?
Good, Vittorio. I'm impressed you got my title out. It's a lot of words. Not sure what it all means, but...
I am properly impressed, and I'm sure that everybody on the other side of the camera is. So, Justin, you have been working with the Access Control Service since the very first version.
Yes, correct? It's kind of hard to remember back when I first started working on web security and a cloud security service. But yeah, this is a big milestone. We're releasing the second version of ACS. And we've broadened up the feature set dramatically, and I think we're addressing a bunch more scenarios. So for me, it's a kind of a milestone or kind of a big marker. We've worked really hard on it. The team, I think, has done a great job, and we've got some really cool stuff, I think, that customers will love. So
absolutely. That's in fact, the buzz around the Access Control Service version 2 has been going on already for months, because you added features that are really, really great. In fact, it would be great if you could just like walk us through like an overview, like what have we got in there?
Sure. So, when I talk about ACS, I like to kind of frame the problem set and, you know, the approach that we're taking to this problem set. I think any application developer, whether you're building an on-premise app or whether you're building something to run in the cloud or a hybrid sort of scenario, you quickly run up against a whole set of security problems. You just cannot avoid it. And this is true whether you're talking mobile, whether you're talking enterprise, consumer. It's just part of what developers have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. And if you look at the problem set in its entirety, I believe it's just incredibly intimidating. You can look at it from a bunch of different angles. You can say, well, I need to authenticate my user, right? So how am I going to do that user authentication? Am I going to force them to fill out a new profile page so I gain all their information? Am I going to ask them to create a new username and password? If I don't want to do that, am I going to go integrate with XYZ identity provider, like maybe LiveID or Google ID, or am I going to integrate with Facebook? If I'm going to go work with those identity providers, how do I rationalize the profile that I keep about the user? How do I do user registration? All those kinds of things. There's lots of corner cases that can happen there. What if that identity provider goes down? What if something happens and maybe the account is hijacked? Just a bunch of interesting problems there. And that's just one slice of what you have to think about as an application developer in the security space. It's a bunch of other stuff. If I'm thinking about mobile applications, right? So obviously mobile is huge. It is not going to slow down. It's just a massive market. And it really exacerbates the identity problems, because you can't really type in a username and password on a phone. It's really error prone, and whenever I do it, I get kind of angry, right? So you know, with authentication on the mobile web, you quickly find that you have a bunch of really angry users and frustrated users. How do you deal with security tokens in a mobile phone? How do you deal with user registration on a phone? How do you do it just across all devices? How do I think about delegated authorization, right? So we're just talking about authentication. There's a whole other side of it around authorization. What can a user do? You know, do I care about OAuth 10A? Do I care about kind of the photo sharing type scenarios? Do I care about OAuth 2? If I do care about OAuth 2, which draft of OAuth 2 do I care about? Do I care about 12, 13, 14?
Okay, I am intimidated. Right. So
but
what can we do for
I'm not done.
What can we do for having people?
So there's just a lot of stuff there, right? And we find that when developers have to approach these problems on their own with little assistance, it becomes really error-prone. Because when you make a mistake here, it's almost like you're trying to juggle chainsaws, right? I heard a guy at Google named Brian Eaton do that analogy, and it really struck home. Because you're really talking about the core integrity and the security of the app that you're building. And so the cost of a mistake can be really high. So what we do inside of this team at Microsoft is we build a service and a toolkit that hopefully abstracts away a lot of the nuances and some of the difficult work that is common across a lot of different kinds of application development scenarios. So The idea is that we go build this. You can reuse it in your application, and you don't have to build all that plumbing yourself. Now, this is, you know, we talked about, this is a massive problem space. There's a bunch of stuff that we don't yet address, but we're moving in the right direction. And I think that we have made a massive leap forward with this V2. If we just take a step back and think about what the V1 offering was for a second, I remember as we're going towards shipping V1 at that PDC, we had to make a really difficult set of decisions in the product team. And we had to say, what are the scenarios that we're going to really try to nail? And we limited that scope all the way down to just securing REST web services. It was a very deliberate decision. It was an extremely painful one to make, but we had to make it. So we made it, and we, you know, shipped at that PDC, and it was wonderful. But that is such a tiny slice of what developers actually need when you're building a web application, you're building a mobile application, securing a web service, etc., that, you know, it's not that appealing, right? And so what we tried to do in V1 is say, all right, we've gotten this basic foundation. We want to expand that to address a bunch more stuff. So as you may or may not have heard, in V2 we can act as a broker to help you log in with a bunch of different identity providers. So you can log in with Google and Facebook and Yahoo and Windows Live ID, any open ID provider, WebSphere, so for enterprise ADFS or AD integration, you know, we have that capability built in out of the box. So you can integrate with all those different identity providers in your browser-based applications with no change in your code, which is huge. Just by itself, that's huge. But again, it's just a slice of the problem. There's a bunch of other capability that we've added in ACS. Like if you want to secure a SOAP web service, right? It may not be mainstream for the web, but it certainly is a big deal for enterprise developers. You know, we have now WS Trust capability baked into ACS, so you can send up a set of credentials, get a token, and access a SOAP web service using WS Trust. A lot of cool stuff around that. We're trying to broaden out our protocol support so that we can integrate with other kinds of identity providers, not just Active Directory and ADFS and the ones on the web. We're not exactly there yet, but we're making good headway. Things like, you know, how do we support the SAML protocol? That's more of a future thing for us, but it is extremely high on our priority list because we know that in Europe and in education or in educational scenarios in the U.S., that's just the protocol that they use, and so we have to support it, and we are going to support it. So there's those kinds of things that we're working on inside the service. Additionally, we have an API, a web service API that's based on OData. To allow you to configure the access control service in a relatively rational way. So that API was an interesting thing to go through and build and think about a bunch of different scenarios and what do we need to expose, what do we need to keep. And that API, interestingly enough, you think about it, it's just a web service. We have that we have a security problem as well around, like, well, how do you secure that thing? Right? And so we wrestled with it. Well, lo and behold, as a security service, we should be able to dog food our own capability. So to gain access to that management API, you have to acquire a token from the service. So we recursively use the security service to secure our own endpoints. And actually the same thing for the management portal. So we also have a management portal. I think there's another screencast or webcast on that Aaron did.
Yep.
And the security mechanism for getting into that portal is the access control service. So we reuse our own stuff. But it's been a hell of a ride, you know, getting here and getting this stuff in place, and it's been a lot of fun, for sure. So.
That's really great. And one thing that I am absolutely in love with on the service is this capability of mixing web identity providers like your classic social and business identity providers. Like,
yeah.
Would you like to touch a bit on that?
Sure. So you know. That's a good point. As we go talk to enterprise customers, like, you know, we can take our canonical customer that we like to call Contoso. I don't know if I ever meet a Contoso, but I talk to a lot of enterprise customers that have the following requirements. So traditionally, they have had the authentication in their applications driven off of Active Directory. Right, so Active Directory, you join a company, you get a username and a password, you get an email inbox, you get a set of things when you join the company, that identity is managed by that corporate IT department.
Do you think that this is deserving a picture?
We can do a picture. Yeah.
Let's do a picture.
Sure. All right, I'll do a picture. And so I'm going to draw a circle.
That's always a good start.
And so this represents all things that are Contoso. And inside of Contoso, you have some apps. And I'll call this app 1. And you have this other thing called AD. I don't know if I'm writing big enough.
That's okay.
Okay. And you have a user. And I'm going to draw a user with a smiley face. And in keeping with Vittorio's hair, I'm going to put some hair on the user as well.
Excellent.
And the user is smiling. So to gain access to this application, the user, unbeknownst to them, and it's usually a function of the operating system, is authenticated using AD, right? And this is Windows Integrated Auth and Kerberos. And so it just kind of happens without this user really knowing. When they sign into their machine, just a bunch of magic happens behind the scenes. And so, you know, we call this joy. Actually, I call it joy. Things just work. As an application developer, you don't really have to think about it. It just kind of works. Well, there's a whole other scenario around, I've got now an app in the cloud. And maybe this is the Contoso cloud. I don't really want to get into public, private, hybrid cloud or anything like that.
Let's avoid that.
But I've got, you know, another app that's out here. Well, I immediately have this weird problem in that this user, if we're not careful, is going to have a hard time logging into A2. Right? And so we have a couple of tools inside the Microsoft ecosystem that can help with this. One is, of course, ADFS, right? And that links up with AD, and this user can quietly get a token from ADFS and present it up to this application in the cloud, and we have, you know, Joy Part 2. Well, there's another kind of scenario that gets more interesting, and let's say that Contoso is being sued.
Excellent.
Right? And so Contoso is being sued, and you know, they have lawyers. And these lawyers work for some outside firm, you know, it could maybe, you know, do we cheat them in how or something like that, or how we cheat them in more. and these lawyers need to gain access to maybe application 2, right? And the IT department doesn't want to give lawyer 1 an AD account, right? Instead, they have a lawyer, and let's say it's lawyer@live.com. Well, now suddenly at this application A2, we have to give our internal employees access to the applications, and we have to give a bunch of lawyers access to the applications, and they're not full-time employees. And so you can view this really as partners, like trading partners or those kinds of things. And we're finding from enterprise customers that there's a bunch of these kinds of scenarios, not just about lawyers and giving lawyers access, but there's a bunch of trading partner scenarios where the friction required to create an identity specific for a user is just too high. So really what they want to be able to do is augment this directory with additional data from outside users. And so that model looks quite a bit different from traditional identity management in the enterprise. And so, you know, we're seeing this with an increasing frequency, and you could do that with the access control service. So the basic idea here is if this app trusts tokens issued from the access control service, let me try to draw that. My drawing is not quite joy at this point.
Your drawing is awesome.
My drawing is awesome. Well, thank you. So let's say I have ACS here, and it's really the Contoso ACS. So we're a multi-tenant service. If this application trusts the Contoso ACS, Contoso ACS can in turn trust ADFS, live.com, google.com, Yahoo, etc. And you don't have to go change all the code inside of application 2. In fact, there's this awesome toolkit called Windows Identity Foundation, or WIF as it's affectionately known, not as like a swing and a miss, but Windows Identity Foundation, that you can use when building A2 and it integrates really cleanly with the access control service, and so you've got reach into all these different identity providers with no change in code. And that is what we'll call, that's the state of Uber joy, or nirvana, perhaps.
That deserves
a... So this is actually a work of art. I think this will get framed. But, you know, the frequency with which we're getting this type of request is really interesting to see. And I think in the access control service, this is a scenario that we've just absolutely nailed. So it's really simple, really easy to set up. You know, you've seen, I've seen you do it at talks, you know, in just a few minutes. It's pretty quick with a couple of clicks. And, you know, I've got a screencast where I think it takes me 6, 7, 8 minutes, something like that.
It's really powerful. It's very powerful.
So.
And no compromise, because the tools are powerful, and so you can do things quickly, but the protocol that you are using is still the solid business-to-business protocol, wherever available, and otherwise you just adapt together.
Yeah.
And in fact, I know that you guys are like taking on the burden of following the various protocol implementations instead of like putting that on others. Like, during the lab time, you actually changed from the old Facebook Connect to off, right? Like, yeah. nobody even realized that you did that. Like, for them, the app kept working, yeah. And instead you had to change the implementation.
Yeah, so I'm going to erase the Uber Joy diagram. That was an interesting time. The idea was something like the following. So we have your app here, and you have ACS that's essentially shielding you from the Google implementation, the Yahoo implementation, and the Facebook implementation, as well as ADFS or others, and LiveID. And so Facebook used to have this thing called Facebook Connect, and we went out and integrated with Facebook Connect. So that this leg here that was over WebSphere, we would handle the transition from WebSphere to Facebook Connect and then back to WebSphere, where we issue a SAML token. And as these guys changed, so they didn't deprecate and connect right away, but they changed to a more OAuth-based model. We, in what I believe is a pretty short amount of time, updated that implementation to use the new protocol that they're using, and it required no code change here. And that was a good test for us to make sure that we can adapt as the community inevitably changes, because there will always be new protocols, there will always be subtle changes. And so one of the values is you get this degree of abstraction here without subjecting your app to it. And so rather than everybody having to go out and deal with these changes, you know, you can rely on a service to do it.
Oh, that's huge, because at that point you can get the innovation without paying the price for it, because somebody else, let's say you guys, are going after all these. Plus, if you add extra services going forward, that application doesn't change, right?
Right.
You just keep doing whatever you're doing, and you get it for free. That's
right.
Awesome.
Right. That's the idea. The idea, as they said, where I come from. So.
That's really nice. That's really nice. And I know that one classic thing that happens with these kind of diagrams is like, and I know that we already went through this with Aaron, but I think there is value in mentioning this here. But when there are so many choices, like here you covered the developer and the administrator side, but for what concerns the user, when there are all those options, there is always the issue of helping the user to actually connect with the right identity provider.
Yeah.
And there we are, again, making life easier for developers for adding that option, right?
Yeah, there's a general problem with integrating with lots of different identity providers, and it's sometimes called the home realm discovery problem. And that is how a user at the app, and I'll do the hair again.
Excellent.
So I used to make fun of Vittorio for his hair, now I grew my hair out, so.
Yeah, it was. I didn't want to say anything about it, but hey, look at this.
Mine's not down past my shoulders yet, so.
It will get there.
I don't know if my wife will let me. But the uh, the user, when they're trying to log into the app, has to make a decision. And any time you ask users or your customers to make this kind of decision, you're almost getting in the way of how they've interacted with apps before, and so you have to be really, really careful about introducing some crazy experience that will just, they'll lose interest and go somewhere else. So the way that we're approaching the home realm discovery problem is we provide a JSON feed. So we publish a JSON feed out of the access control service that your app can consume and render what I like to call a NASCAR page. NASCAR after the racing with all the logos.
Right, which for international viewers, which may not be familiar with what not NASCAR is again, like these cars that run those races, and they are completely covered with a texture of stickers for the various sponsors.
Yeah,
and here, in analogy, the same goes. And I'm adding this because here NASCAR is kind of a standard,
yeah,
like for you Americans.
But for us
international people...
More stuff.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you're only making left-hand turns.
All right.
It's left-hand turns, right? Yeah, it's left-hand turns.
Left-hand turns.
So we provide this data, and so the app developer can consume that and render HTML in a way that fits for your use cases or your scenarios. We really struggled with this. Do we want to provide HTML and some kind of, you load it in an iframe, and this is the ubiquitous login sort of look and feel? And in the end, you know, we decided to opt for a programmable interface so that an app developer is in control of the login experience. So if you want to make this really rich and have a lot of logos and things like that, then you can go ahead and do that. But the data is published from here to be consumed by here. It's not a new, you know, we're not trying to be creative or really break new ground with this. Really, we're just trying to put developers in control of it, because you guys know the habits of your users much more so than we do. You know, this can work for enterprise identity providers like an ADFS, and it can also work for the web. And you can put fancy icons there. You can do lots of different stuff. But, you know, we think it's pretty flexible, and we think it gives you enough control so that your users keep their smiles.
Right. And if you're prototyping, we are still doing something which, like, if you just want to F5 and see that it works, there is something for that case as
well. Yeah, that's
right?
True. That's a good point. So we... not everybody, you know, your initial experience with this, we wanted to make it a little bit simple. So we also publish an HTML page that probably no one will use in a production site. But that HTML page just consumes this JSON feed and styles it in kind of a interesting way. But, you know, it's still there and you can use it. It's great for the F5 kind of on-ramp and simple experience. So, yeah.
That's
good.
Great
point.
Yeah, there was really a lot of good stuff in there. And luckily, you guys put together a really comprehensive documentation, which is great. And we do
That's
have...
That's always fun to write.
Yeah.
We know it's important, but man, it's...
It's no, it's nice. It's nice. Plus, we extended the training kit with various specific labs that cover some of these scenarios, including the phone one that you mentioned before.
So, yeah.
It should be pretty easy to hit the ground running.
Yeah, good. Right on. Yeah, I really like the training kit. If you're watching this and you haven't downloaded the training kit, I really think it adds a lot of value. It's worth the time that you invest in it. You learn quite a bit about what's out there in the Microsoft ecosystem for security. So
this means a lot to me.
Oh, all right.
All right. So I think that we got a very, very good overview. Is there anything else that you'd like to add to this? I don't know, like a favorite feature or... funny event, something that happened during the last 2 years. I don't know. Anything that you wanted to use as a parting words?
Oh, wow. I would love to share some funny stories.
Yeah.
To think about it. Maybe,
be
maybe
careful.
We can have a, you know, maybe we can have a follow on there. There's a lot of really interesting times building this. You know, about the team, we started off really as a tiny team, a little bit bigger now. but there's a group of, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 of us that really put this thing together and had a heck of a lot of fun, a lot of late nights and things like that. but I think we broke some good ground. You know, I think one of the favorite features or one of the favorite experiences I like to show people about ACS is just how simple it is to get up and running. I don't get tired of doing the, okay, I open up Visual Studio, I go to a browser and I go create a new ACS service namespace, right, my own little tenant inside of ACS, and I just get up and running. Like, it's really simple. You know, one of the funnier things that we encountered there is, I'm not sure if you remember, but when we first came out with a service in CTP form, we didn't have signing certificates, so you had to go create your own signing certificate and, you know, go map it to your service namespace.
We had it in the lab as explicit step.
Yeah. And what we found was that any time a developer that is not already dead on with understanding X509 and creation, it just really drove home the notion that these things are hard to deal with, hard to manage. And so, you know, we, out of just complete blowback by our user base, said, okay, we're going to go create a new cert for each service namespace, and we're going to use that by default for a signing credential. That was an interesting time, and believe it or not, that code was actually kind of hard to write, you know, because we had to switch out into native and all kinds of interesting things there around how you generate a cert with enough entropy in a cloud environment. But, you know, that turned out to be one of the things that made it really easy to go use ACS. Without that, it just, you're fumbling around with make cert and CAs and things like that.
So. That's absolutely true. That thing was a godsend, especially for demos. It was awesome. Clack, clack, and then you're done. Instead of before.
Yeah.
Well, great. I think that this was really, really useful. Thank you for your time. And I am sure that as people build things on top of a service, we'll have you again on the show, perhaps going deeper on one of those specific scenarios.
Right on. Yeah, we'd definitely love to. And you know, one thing I'll say, we rely on customer feedback. A lot of what the service is today is driven off of what you guys have told us that you want in the service and the kind of problems that you say you're having. And so we absolutely, at the core of our being, rely on feedback from people that are trying out the service and have this set of problems. So please don't be shy about giving us that feedback in any way, shape, or form that's easy for you to issue it. You can send emails to me, you can send emails to Vittorio, post on the forums, on CodePlex, those kinds of things. But we really appreciate the people that have been trying out the service, telling us how it is, and giving us that kind of feedback. It's really made a difference. So I'd like to thank everybody that's invested that time.
Perfect. Thank you, Justin, and at the next time.